W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH Podcast.
Oh, hey, hey. That was Kareem's not here. That was a recording made of Kareem in the bathroom this morning.
Still.
Yeah. At this point, it's been a week. I mean, I hope he's okay.
Hope so.
That's what happens when you pre-record shows. Coming up on the show today, it's Monday, so of course we have grievances. Sex toy news is all Alabama.
All right.
I did not plan it that way. It's just how it worked out. I don't know what to tell you. And we'll talk about the Taco Bell Resort. We have photos.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Let me get ready for this one.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very exciting.
Like in Taco Bell Resort.
Yep, Taco Bell Resort.
Can I just air my grievance now?
No, okay. We'll get to that. We got to start the show with a little chit-chat before we get to all of that.
Well, that's chit-chat.
Little chit-chat. God, what's the day's date? It's Monday, let's see. 24 and 7. It's June 31st. It's July 1st.
It's July 1st.
Rent's due!
Rent's due.
That's right. I paid my first rent for Darling New Media, and our office is on Howe Avenue. So,
bam.
Opening, I would say, in the next couple of weeks. Very excited. This podcast will be emanating from the Darling New Media studios. Once we get all of the, well, I think next week we are hopefully going to be recording from there.
Ooh.
This may be the last episode of the show recorded from the office at the home. Leslie is very excited to get all as she calls it, my shit out of the office.
Oh yeah, because she can have this room.
It's been a little inundated because of the backup of not being able to get into the office space we thought we'd be able to get into back in March. So yeah. We've had, there's been things I bought as they have been on sale, things that that are sort of needed for this. Like I have 8 desktop mic stands that have been in this room since February. It was the first real thing that we bought for the new business, and I got them on President's Day at Guitar Center. That was like the first thing. But there's been a lot of purchases since then. We got some really exciting things like battery backup UPSs for the studios that I purchased at the now out of business Office Depot in Midtown.
Oh, is it gone, huh?
It's gone. It's been gone for a while now. Been gone for over a month.
Is that the one with the parking on the roof?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. That is closed.
It's that a nice space.
It's not. That building is awful. It's beat up. It's beat. Inside the Office Depot is pretty beat.
Is it pretty bad?
Pretty beat. So yeah, got all that. Some other things that I picked up at Mike's Cameras tent sale. Of course, we've got all of our new microphones, our new audio boards, and all of that stuff has been crammed into one small room that is only slightly bigger than one of the studios. So it's all in there.
With that wall right there, it's probably about the size of the studio.
Yeah, the studio's in there about 10 feet by 11 feet. So they're decent size.
Yeah.
This room, it might be a little bit bigger, but we've got furniture in here and it's not designed to be what we're using it for.
I mean,
it's a step up from when I had the apartment and we did the podcast from my couch.
It is a step up.
Yeah, I mean, it is because it's a separate room. You know, and of course the cat box was across the room, the automated cat box. So the cat might take a big steamy shit in the middle of the show.
And then you hear
Fact. That is an absolute fact. We've upgraded the equipment quite a bit since then. And the new equipment, we did a couple of shows with all the new equipment in this office. And the sound quality is amazing. And this office isn't super soundproofed either. I mean, it's just not.
No, I can hear you fart when you're in the bathroom.
It's the room isn't soundproof, but there's also echo in here that isn't ideal. But in the new space, everything is set, or it will be set. It will be set. And the gear is all podcast specific, and it's a very exciting time to be alive. Frightening as fuck.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, because, you know, this for me is an all in venture in terms of this is absolutely 100% a self-financed entrepreneurial effort that, you know, we need to get clients in. We need to get people to be part of the community. One of the things we're going to do that I absolutely am stoked on is we're going to have a community program. And the community program will be, if you do a podcast at Darling New Media, you can opt into the community program. And what that will mean is you agree to read a promo for somebody else's podcast, and your promo gets read on someone else's. So there will be a community of podcasters who will be pushing to other content that is created in the space. So it's a great way for people to grow a podcast, to be able to, you know, touch base with other listeners that might not otherwise touch base with them. So as we move forward on this show, you'll be hearing us talk about other podcasts where in the past we really haven't to speak of, other than, you know, Jason will mention one that he kind of likes, or I'll mention, you know, I used to mention Adam Carolla a lot when I listened to him. I've mentioned,
fuck that douchebag.
I mentioned Mike O'Mara. And I will mention Mike O'Mara again, because the crew at the Mike O'Mara show in Washington, D.C. have built a business that's very similar to this. They've been operating for about a year and a half now, and they call theirs Podcast Village. And they are on multiple floors of a building. So they've done very well in terms of being able to expand and do different things. And that was sort of the inspiration for doing what I'm doing. And I say I could not be doing this without my wife, because her support, her expertise are all key in this actually happening. And it's not just that. There are people along the way who've helped out with a variety of things, both big and small. You know, my friend Nils, who runs Newton Booth Builds, does custom furniture. He built the backing for our sign that's going up in the business, and it looks amazing. And that's one of the things we're trading off. So we're going to be doing some photos and videos for him as we go through. Brian and Brandy from Driftwood's Clothing, who did the t-shirts, and sort of helped along with that. Sushi Brian, who listens to the show, when I went and sat down with him and picked his brain about starting a business, back before we really had everything dialed in terms of what we were going to do. And there've been a lot of people like that throughout that, have been a help. Some people have been a hindrance, but every hindrance gives you an opportunity to overcome something and really focus. I think that's the real lesson here, is every bump in the road only helps you get better because you're able to navigate through it. So now it's open up the doors and get some folks in to create some quality pod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome. So it's great. Hope you had a nice insurance professional helping you.
It's true. Oh yeah, I forgot. Jason has helped me. Jason has not only written me a policy for the original place, he's rewritten it for the new place. And Jason was there. And when I went and got a competing quote, he went through it with me to talk about, well, here's what this one is offering you, and here's how it's different than what what this policy is, and just really explained everything. Because there's a shit ton of stuff that doesn't make any sense. From, like, the city of Sacramento does not have a business license. They don't have a traditional business license. You have to get a business occupancy tax or a BOT, which I still need to, as of this recording, I do not yet have.
Oh, you gotta get your BOT.
I have to get the BOT before we're open.
Right. You're fine.
And again, this show is dropping a week after we record it.
Right.
So by the time the show drops, I will have my BOT. So
the day the show drops, I'll be dropping my wife and my kids and my mother-in-law off at the airport.
Oh, and then it's free, Jason?
For like 2 weeks.
Wow.
Almost three.
Wow, they're going back
till the 19th.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Nice. Well,
I don't know what I'm going to do, man.
Oh, I do. I've got a whole bunch of projects over at Darling New Media that I could use an extra set of hands for. It'd be fantastic.
Oh, man. I'm just so looking forward to being able to sleep in.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to being able to, like, sleep in. Looking forward to being able to sleep.
Well, here's the beauty for you. As we do the podcast, you'll be able to come to do the show on your way home from work.
Oh yeah.
So you don't have to run home and then come to the show.
Right.
So we'll figure out what makes sense in terms of recording times.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I know that I'm going to miss them as soon as they're gone, but but at the same time,
think of this: video games.
I already bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey and I've started it a little bit, but I also know I haven't really played. Well, what end up happening is I'll end up getting into some new TV show that's like 10 episodes long. Uh-huh. And like I'm going to waste my time watching that, binging that, instead of playing a game, which is what I really should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to be said, but,
July 4th, if you're listening to this and you're in Sacramento, I'm going to have some brisket smoked at the house.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of like an adult's party.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, I mean, you can bring a kid, I guess. You know.
Yes. Leave him on the curb.
Leave him on the curb.
So, I think that covers chit-chat. All right, so this is... We chit and we chat. Headline, the Get Weed Wise campaign has sent a clear message to unlicensed businesses that they need to get licensed or shut it down. That's according to California, where the state is urging marijuana buyers to keep it legal. Jason, regulators launched the Get Hashtag WeedWise digital advertising campaign last week because of the recent legalization of marijuana failed to make much of a dent on the black market. Eradicating illegal sales was a key goal of Prop 64, which was approved by voters in 2016 and went into effect last year. That requires growers, producers, and sellers to be licensed. Now, the campaign encourages consumers to check the state's online database to make sure the place where they're buying their pot is legitimate. So, Jason, have you checked to see where you get your pot is legitimate?
Well, I think that the thing that's like lost in a lot of areas with the legalization that they did is they just put so much burden on dispensaries that were already open that didn't have the ability to put money in banks, build credit, things of that nature, get loans,
right?
Leaving it to people that had lots of money and lots of resources of that nature to do what needed to be done to get legal. So it's kind of shitty, like what's happened and what is happening in that whole industry. I'm all for legalization, and I'm excited about the potential legalization of mushrooms also. Not so much because I like to partake in mushrooms and marijuana, about the fact that like any uses that could be done with those items outside of like, just no research on them, you know?
Right.
And because of the way they've been scheduled and the way that they've been handled for the last 50 years. I don't know. But at the same time, like, it's shitty. It's just been a big grab for people that have lots of money to get into the industry, leaving a lot of the people that were doing things right for so many years, like out of the ability. Like, how are you supposed to...
The medical marijuana
people. Yeah. Yeah. Like the dispensaries, like those places, like how are they supposed to have the $200,000 to get the security? Like they need to keep reinvesting it. They don't have just $200,000 lying around.
It's tough being a small business.
And even if they had, like, they put money like that into, like, real, like, items, you know, like land and things of that nature, which you can't just pull money out of.
They made
it difficult.
So. Well, and last week, and we covered this on the Morning Crunch Wrap, which is the other podcast that I do. Go ahead and listen to that if you would. that the marijuana industry came out and said they're going to be good neighbors. They're going to be ecologically sound and taking care of the environment and good neighbors and all of that. And they did admit for about three quarters of the way through the article that one of the reasons they're doing it is they will hope that it leads regulators to go, they're already being good. We don't need to mess with them.
You know, I mean, like when I worked at the dispensary, like I got a regular paycheck, no problem. I was getting paid $5 more than what minimum wage was. I was getting paid like $14 an hour. I was being given an eighth of marijuana free every week. I had medical, dental, like didn't have to pay anything for either one of those. Nothing came out of my check for those things. And like I got lunches and like coffee like all the time. Like for like, I don't know, man. It was one of the best things that I ever worked at. And it was one of the best jobs I've ever had. Aside from being able to get a little stoned, I got told one time that I couldn't get that stoned at work again.
Yeah.
Everybody thought it was funny because I just get really emotional when I get really stoned sometimes.
Oh, you're like a girl that cries when she drinks.
I just like, it's just so amazing right now. I just like,
oh boy.
Amazingly enough, I could count change in my till. It's always on. But anyhow,
it took 3 hours, but he could do it.
No, I did it quick, man. I could break it down quick. But I'd also been working in retail. I've like worked in retail, handling money or something like my whole life, you know.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
Are you getting your weed legally?
If I were getting my weed,
I
would of course get it legally.
Okay.
I mean, especially since like if I were to do that, I wouldn't want to smoke flower anymore because my asthma is the best it's ever been right now. So I'd want to vaporize. So I'd want to get like the cartridges that they have and I'd want to use edibles. So, you know, like that's like, I'd have to do it legally to do that stuff. You
it's,
know,
it's really amazing that, so I have some friends who have started using, since marijuana became legal, have started using marijuana and they use CBD, as well as the regular TH. I forget which one they use.
Well, CBD is the stuff for like kind of relaxing aches, pains, no psychoactive effects.
Well, CBD. So,
aches and pain, like, you know,
uses the CBD to remain calm at work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically
without getting stoned.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I have multiple friends who have, since marijuana became legal, been able to get off psychotropic drugs to manage their brain chemistry.
Hmm.
So, and they're happier. They're more relaxed. They don't go through life with this foggy feeling, as they describe it. I don't know how effective it is because you know, who's going to tell you everything's cool? The guy who's stoned.
Yeah.
So I don't know, exactly how effective it is, but if you can get off of things like Prozac and things like that, that really just, in order to take away the real highs, take away the highs, and you're just sort of in the middle all the time and kind of going through life like that, that's gotta suck.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to do that is I think amazing. If you can find the right combination to make
it. I haven't tried to kill myself since I started smoking marijuana on a daily basis.
Oh, there you go. That's some high praise.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
Well, Kareem's not here, so I'm going to go for him. Kareem's grievance this week is his colon. It was not kind to him. He was very angry with it for the way it treated him. And he's not having it anymore.
too bad he has to have it.
Well, he's not having that treatment from it anymore.
Right, yeah.
Not going to stand for it.
He's not going to stand for it.
No, and he didn't stand for it the day today either.
He's not been standing for it,
nope,
for sure.
Not at all. Jason, what's up you?
Oh, man. Hemorrhoids again?
No.
I love my wife, and I'm thinking about, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but my grievance is, like, sometimes I just don't know how to fucking win. Just don't. And sometimes I respond before I realize that, like, that's definitely not the way to win.
Uh-huh.
Case in point, we are driving, my wife played soccer in college, throughout high school, grade school, high school, college, played it when I was meeting her, played it until CJ was, until she was pregnant with CJ, and like pregnant with CJ, like 5-6 months in,
right.
She was still playing, or maybe 3 months in. Anyhow, she loves soccer. So World Cup is on right now. I'm not sure if it's still on. It might be on for another week. Like, might be.
I'm not sure how long it goes.
I'm not. They're in the round of 16 right now, right? So it might be just this last week.
As we're recording this,
yeah. As we're recording this. And yeah, but she loves it. And on Sunday, on Saturday night, she'd said something about like, oh, I can't wait for all the games tomorrow. I'll have to make sure to record them. And then as we are driving home from Sunday morning that we woke up, we're out of the house by like 8:30, 9 o'clock, went to farmer's market, got some vegetables and stuff like that. Got back home. I dropped the vegetables off real quickly. We got back in the car, drove to Roseville to go to the movies, which started at 1:30. We got there like an hour and a half early. We were there for so long. We're driving home and I'm reading something. I'm like, oh, what's a VAR? Which is about a goal. And my wife's like, fuck, I didn't record the games today. God damn it. And she got pissed. She's like, why didn't you remind me? Like it was my, like all of a sudden this situation became my fault. Uh-huh. This whole thing was my fault.
You had one job.
I had one, but I was never asked to do it. It was never something that was on my radar because, A, I fucking hate soccer. I don't watch it. Like,
listen, do you know it's important to her?
Fuck, man.
Yeah, you can't win. You cannot
win.
No, there's no winning that.
I can't fucking win. And I just replied, I don't even like soccer. How am I supposed to remember to record it?
Oh, that's not the way to win.
That was not the right thing to say.
No.
Because then we drove in silence.
And oh, that's the worst.
We're pursed the whole time.
The drive in silence is the worst.
And I just was like saying, I love you. I'm sorry. I know it was my fault. I should have. It was like, but it was too late.
Too
like
late. Then
it was like I'd already said the thing that was the wrong thing to say. And yeah, so fuck you, Jason, and your stupid mouth. And remember that anytime your wife says something like that, you're just supposed to say, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. I totally messed up.
Well, I think the real lesson goes.
We messed up.
Yeah. Before that, though, and this is one thing that's a tough one for me to learn is if something is important to me, and I'm sure you're the same way because it's a really guy thing, we will talk about how important it is. It's like, oh, this thing is huge, blah, 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 blah. And you don't stop talking about how important it is. Oftentimes, ladies will mention something once.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll go, this means a lot to me. And if you don't catch that and you don't remember that,
you're fucked.
Because they're like, well, I told you it was important to me. Or they will just casually. Now, I casually mention literally dozens of things that don't matter. For whatever reason, that's just how I'm wired. I will mention a dozen things that do not fucking matter. I couldn't care one way or the other about them. But my wife, and this has happened many a time to echo your thing, will say to me, I'll say something like, I didn't know it was that important to you. And the answer I get back is, well, I mentioned it, didn't I? Yeah, but I mentioned a dozen things that weren't important. So for me, just because you mentioned it doesn't mean it's important. Which, again, not the right things to say.
Yeah.
By the way. My grievance is with the city of Nashville. Nashville can fuck right off. And here's why. They had their very first scooter fatality there. So drunk guy, double the legal limit, gets on a scooter, gets hit and killed. Okay. City of Nashville decides, you know what? No more scooters. Just outright banning scooters, getting rid of them altogether. Are you fucking kidding me? It's such a ridiculous overreaction. I know you're irritated because, oh, these scooters on the sidewalk. We were thinking about it anyway. And then one guy got killed. So, yeah, well, guess what? He made choices, drunken, stupid choices. He probably would have gotten killed if he would have wandered out into the street drunk. Are you going to outlaw shoes? You going to take everybody's shoes away in Nashville? I know I'm going with the right wing argument. I get that. But you can't just outlaw. It's really a bad idea to just go ahead and do that. And I get it. They're one of these cities that has four fucking scooter companies. And I was talking to my friend in Charlotte, and they've got a similar situation. So you get this huge pile of scooters everywhere. Well, that's your fault for being stupid to begin with. I will say this about Sacramento. They were smart in how they allowed both the jump bikes and then eventually the scooters to come in, because there's one company that's licensed to have them here. So you don't get this pile up of four different scooter companies, each with their own pile of scooters.
When there's a list of demands also that they have to meet in order to,
right.
It's not like they weren't going to allow other companies to come in, but there's certain things that are required by the companies
right.
to do.
Set the rules before you let them come in and start doing it. Don't fucking go in half-assed backwards and go, oh, we're going to ban everybody now. It's like, no, that's stupid. Nashville, you're stupid. Stupid. You and your bachelorette party. Stupid.
Do you want me to yuck your yum?
What now?
You want me to like tell you a story that I have of somebody that's... So my wife's cousin is occupational therapist in Nashville.
Oh, good.
And
oh, how many people have fallen off the scooter and hurt themselves?
A lot.
Well, I don't give a shit.
And
you know why, Jason? Because this is fucking America. And if you want to fall off a scooter and hurt yourself, that's on your sorry ass.
No, but this is somebody that she knew, too.
Okay. Oh, I knew them. So they're being stupid and uncoordinated is now suddenly important. Is that where the story's going?
I'm just saying she as soon as it happened, she said that they needed to go. Like it's crazy. Like I just saw this post from her like about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And now we're reading that they're completely banned.
Uh-huh. Well, that's why, because one guy got killed.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to talk about big injuries, when I was working as a commercial producer, I did spots for a hospital every month, minute long spot for a hospital every month. And we were shooting at the physical therapy space. And this woman was in there getting therapy and she had broken her upper arm. And she's like, it was the most painful thing ever. And she was talking about how the therapy has helped but it's been a very long road. And so he said, so what happened? And she said, I was standing on an office chair, a swiveling office chair with wheels, and I fell off. I was stupid. Did her office then take away every swiveling office chair with wheels? No. No, they didn't.
No, but you're probably not allowed to stand on it anymore.
No. No, you're not. You weren't to begin with because it was stupid. I'm just saying. Maybe we don't need to regulate everything to that level.
Hey, I have some flavored tobacco, flavored nicotine syrup for if you want to buy some, by the way, out of my trunk.
I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I can mix up any flavor you want.
I'm going to choose to not do that.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Are you down?
I have the power to choose.
I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, like, listen, you can't get it anywhere in the city of Sacramento.
Oh, boy.
I got some flavors for you, brah.
Ah, nice.
Got some passion fruit.
Mm-hmm. You know who should be outlawed?
Got some butthole pussies. It smells like a fart, but tastes like pussy.
I don't know if that's better.
Some people love it.
Tangy.
You can vape it in your bathroom all day.
Meanwhile, in Milwaukee, police there say a 20-year-old man accidentally shot himself when he believed he was about to get robbed.
Get the fuck out of here.
He was walking in a residential area on the north side of the city at about 12:30 a.m. on a Saturday when he saw two people walking toward him. Police say that's when the man pulled out a gun and accidentally shot himself.
Nice.
He's going to be okay. Just say it. He's going to be great. Dumbass. Quick Mama June update. I do watch Mama June from not to hot, which is done for the season. But her family now fears the worst with Gino, who is her boyfriend, thinks that she's in a mental prison. It's moved beyond troubling as a dangerous territory, according to the family. They're terrified of a downward spiral. Now, sources close to June tell TMZ her family believes Gino Doak has her under his thumb and is playing mind games to keep control of her and locked away in a mental prison. TMZ's told the family thinks Gino's preventing her from seeing them and being with her kids and has been filling her head with lies, like saying they're against her when in fact they're worried sick about her. TMZ sources say June's family is certain Gino's motive is money when he has it made with her because he can spend her cash and not have to work so he can do whatever he wants, including getting wasted. They've both been arrested on drug charges. Honey Boo Boo went to see her mom last week after Gino was so drunk that he crashed his SUV into her home and couldn't even stand up afterwards. But TMZ's told that an attempt to get June to kick him to the curb was futile because Mama insists Gino is not a problem. So there's your update on Mama June.
Wow. So even when you get skinny, you still have fucking problems.
Crashing the SUV right into the house. That's what happens when you do that.
And now it's time for the...
It's not.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy sex toy news.
Alabama edition. Headline, woman charged with torturing incapacitated man. An Alabama woman has been charged with the sexual torture of a 25-year-old man who was under the influence of GHB and bound with duct tape when he was assaulted. That's according to a court filing. In the charge sheet filed this week, Jennifer Johnson, who's 36, was accused of violating the incapacitated man with a sex toy at a residence in Cottondale. That's a Tuscaloosa suburb. Police learned of the March 19th attack when they discovered incriminating videos on Johnson's phone. Following her arrest last month for possession of a stolen Honda Civic, at the time of her May 10th bust, Johnson stated that she was a prostitute. The multiple videos found on her phone, investigators say, showed her penetrating the victim's anus with a dildo. The man was under the influence of the date rape drug GHB and physically helpless. He was also bound with duct tape and around his mouth, wrists, and ankles. That's according to a deposition and charge sheet that notes Johnson jokes and laughs throughout the videos. I mean, he might have paid good money for that. You don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know the answer to that. Since her arrest last month, she's been held in the Tuscaloosa County Jail on $20,000 bond. It was up to $80,000 in light of the new felony sexual torture charge. Meanwhile, and this only ups my distrust of Uber drivers, man accused of impersonating Uber driver arrested wearing fake penis. Dateline Birmingham. A Tuscaloosa man, Tuscaloosa County man, ooh, same county, accused of impersonating a ride-sharing driver has been arrested and indicted on multiple charges. Tommy Beard was arrested in March. Oh, it was a rough time in March in Tuscaloosa. Charged with two counts of a kidnapping and impersonating a transportation network company driver. He's accused of picking up intoxicated college women from Tuscaloosa bars. When he was arrested, police said they found photos on his phone of the unconscious clothed women in his back seat that focused on their breasts and crotch area. I mean, they passed out in his car. Court records also say when the 62-year-old Beard was arrested, he was wearing a fully erect artificial penis.
What the fuck, man? What happened to just having a hard dick by yourself, you know? Like,
well, he has a hard dick, and then he's by himself with that hard dick that he was wearing. Additionally, they searched his car. They found a loaded gun and a bottle of hair conditioner.
Oh, he's been whacking it in the car.
He's being held on $30,000 bond. Yeah, I know they have non-erect artificial penises, but I don't know why a man would have one of those.
I don't know why a man would just have... I mean...
it's all. This is all very unclear.
Yeah.
It's all very unclear.
I wonder if it's like one that you could stick your penis into. So you could act like you have a hard dick when you don't.
Don't know.
Or that it's bigger.
That, well, I'm guessing it probably was.
Oh, that was a funny joke I heard the other day. Ali Wong. It was if a guy's not trying to sleep with you on the first date, that means he's high in a small dick.
Nice.
She's like, you should never. If a girl sleeps with you on the first date, it's because she doesn't respect you, not because she doesn't have respect for you. It was pretty funny, but the small dick. She's like, and if the guy doesn't want to have sex with you on the first date, it's because he has a small dick and he's trying to lure you in. She's like, let that shit fool me once.
Oh boy. Yeah. All right. Speaking of small dicks, we've got photos of Taco Bell's newest on-brand Palm Springs Resort. There it is, Jason. That place is fire.
Yeah, that doesn't... Come on, man. This has to be fake. There's no way that this is...
Well, they've been teasing it for a while now, and reservations will soon be available for the new spot. Its name is the Bell Hotel and Resort. They have activities that include getting taco-inspired nail art and taking a snooze on hot sauce packet pillows. Reservations for the new resort... they've already opened June 27th on the hotel's website. So that was last week. Located in Palm Springs, California, it will only be open for a limited time. I'm guessing the same amount of time as the nacho fries. The first check-in begins August 8th, the final checkout August 12th, and there is no minimum night stay. So you have a very short time. It all looks like a really weird thing. They start at $169 a night. Space is very limited, and they will be available to Taco Bell super fans on a first-come, first-served basis. It's only for 18 and up, by the way. So,
wait, what?
Don't bring
like, are they having, like, taco sex parties there or something?
They might. Put some fire sauce on your anus. No. Do not use the fire sauce as lube.
It is not. Do not put it on your anus either. I made that mistake
once. I mean, you're going to put it on your anus one way or the other.
Oh, okay. So I want you to put some in my butthole and then lick it out. Eat that ass.
So there you go. It's coming for a very limited time.
That's what she said.
Yep. That is exactly what she said.
Honey, guess what? We're going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
To Palm Springs.
Ooh.
All right. And I know you, I love, it's going to be, hold your horse. Okay. Got us a 3-night stay.
Uh-huh.
At the Bell.
The Bell?
The Bell.
Is that in the museum district of Palm Springs?
No. It's kind of on the out, like it's kind of like on the little bit of ways like, from it. Like it's like, you know, it's one of those old motels.
Okay.
Like that they've redone and they made it look like really hipsterish. And
so it's kitschy.
It's very kitschy.
Oh, that sounds great.
And it's called the Bell.
Oh, the Bell.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Like Taco Bell.
Oh.
It's actually a Taco Bell inspired. I thought you'd be excited. You love chalupas. You get excited every time. Like when you saw that the fries were coming back, not for a second, but a third time, you were super excited.
That's true. But I mean, I was kind of hoping for like a nice place with a pool.
Oh, they have a pool, but it also has mild sauce in it.
Floating on the hot sauce packets. Oh boy.
Man, would you be totally crushed if that's what, would you like, be sad?
I wouldn't, but I'm not a lady.
No, if your lady though got you and I'd stay there.
No, I'd be fine. I've been to Palm Springs. It's not that exciting.
No. And the places that you want to stay that are really nice there, you can't afford.
I was fortunate enough that I had a friend who lived in Palm Desert for a few years and I went to visit him. So I got to see a little bit of the Palm Springs. Now, I mean, yes, if you can rent a house like the Kardashians do and go out and do that shit, sure. That's great. But otherwise, it's just hot.
First of all, I don't get the idea of going anywhere to a resort like style place that's not in Bali or like the coast of Mexico or something. You know what I mean? Like going to Palm Springs to go to a 5-star resort or whatnot, not appealing to me in any way whatsoever. Spending over especially when you have like places up in Joshua Tree, like an hour and a half, like an hour away from there.
Right.
Where like you're in like the beautiful part. I don't know.
Or you could go to San Diego, which is nice.
Which is really
nice. And on the ocean.
Palm Springs does have an amazing Jewish deli, though.
Oh, well, yeah. And have yourself a sandwich.
And some gambling.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
That's the thing, I think. I think they kind of lost their stature, their place, when they started letting everybody, like, gamble everywhere else in the state of California. Mm. It used to be one of the things, like, oh, Palm Springs. No, they have some gambling there.
Mm. I think it was when Sonny Bono skied into a tree.
That's what happened. Right into the tree.
There we go.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. So this is a very interesting story from the state of Maine. And it's about a man. Every place he ever worked went out of business. So he decided to come up with a new plan. And that plan was to work at the cemetery.
Is it full now?
Jim Bishop worked nearly four decades in jobs that ended with his employer shutting down before he found job security at Mount Hope Cemetery. That, Jason, was in 1991.
Holy shit. I hadn't even started high school yet.
Bishop, who's now 87, has been working on the grounds crew of the country's second oldest garden cemetery ever since, and he has no plans to stop anytime soon. But I was beginning to feel like a jinx about all the jobs he had before. On any given day, you'll find him, a Brewer, Maine native, raking, trimming bushes, or weeding flower beds, and an ever-present smile pasted to his face. He's the oldest employee who has ever worked at the cemetery.
That wasn't buried.
He does whatever job needs to be done around the grounds. Sure, he doesn't tire of those jokes. Said, I like my job here. I like the boss. I like the people I work with. I'm a little tired at night, but otherwise, I get up the next morning, I do it again. He said being outdoors keeps him going. He loves the fresh air and seeing familiar people.
Wow.
Many who take walks through the cemetery know his smiling face and chipper personality.
As they cry.
Right. Go to visit mom's grave and he's like, hey, hey. Everybody loves him. He's nice to the people and he's always in good spirits when he comes to work. That's according to the superintendent. He speaks to everyone that walks around here. They even bring him stuff. Really, they'll bring him tools. They'll bring him food. They'll bring him a little bit of everything. He's just a nice man. Wow. He has a strong work ethic. You never have to worry about Jim. He takes pride in what he does. Said, I let him go. I don't pressure him. I just let him do his thing. Now, Bishop shares a story about when he came to the cemetery in search of a job. He said he asked if there was any chance the cemetery would go out of business, and the staff member replied that he didn't think so. So here I am 28 years later, and I'm still here. He plans to work at Mount Hope Cemetery as long as he can. He adding, it beats staying home, by golly. Sometimes small town news just makes you feel good. Oh, just saying. This story made me feel good.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
An 87-year-old dude goes out to the cemetery every day. I mean, literally, this is an 87-year-old man. He's not sitting around fearing death, waiting for it. He's out there waving at death every day.
Yeah, he's like, hey.
Embracing life.
I dare you, bitch.
Look, if you can go to work and enjoy what you do every day, I mean, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
He's just waiting to start building. He's waiting to catch death in a tree and build a fence around him and then not let death down.
The Grim Reaper?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, good for him.
Yeah. By the way, if you guys didn't get that, that's an On Borrowed Time reference. You should see the movie if you haven't.
All right. Awesome. Well, you got time now because the show's over.
It's over. Go watch it.
It's over. Kareem, we hope your anus feels better.
Yeah, I hope it's like doing normal stuff now.
No more spasming. I don't know if it was. I'm just guessing.
He said that it was 9 a.m. and he said he'd already been to the bathroom four times.
Okay.
Since he woke up.
That sounds like spasming anus to me.
But I mean, it depends. Like, did he wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning? Because that's not that many times. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not like, like if it was like he woke up at 7 and had already gone to the bathroom like four times from 7 to 9, you got some asshole issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's time's relative, right? I mean, some days I might have a loose stool or two.
Loose stool. Hello, loose stool.
I had a little bit too much ice cream yesterday.
All right, we leave you with that. Hey, check out the Morning Crunch Wrap podcast. It's a short 5 to 10 minute show that drops every weekday morning with a news story that catches my eye, and I'll sort of break it down, give it a little bit of commentary for you. So it's a quick little tidbit. We'll see you next time on the WTH podcast. Y'all take care now. You hear?